Scott Miller joins us now, National Major League Baseball columnist for Bleacher Report. You can see him and hear him on Turner Sports, Sirius XM, Major League Baseball Network, all of those things. Scott, how are you, sir?
Hey, good, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. Thanks for joining us.
I want to see real numbers on this Bryce Harper Under Armour deal. What do you think it's worth?
What did they say? I saw that earlier today. It was what did they say? The overall total they're claiming is what?
We haven't seen yet.
They didn't. Yeah, the figures were not released, but a lot of speculation is that it's a deal that's going to be worth somewhere north of $500 million.
Okay, yeah, that's what I saw. You know, the speculation is what I saw. Yeah, I mean, good question. I mean, my goodness. You know, Under Armour is obviously, you know, they've got a lot of heft out there. I think the Cubs might be an Under Armour team. I mean, they're making inroads into baseball. I will say this: whatever the deal's worth, I think it's great to see some big, pricey, expensive national contract like this, for whether it's Bryce Harper or Mike Trout or whoever. Because, as you guys well know, when Rob Manfred replaced Bud Selig as commissioner, he said one of his mandates, he's got to reach out to the young generation, make sure they stay baseball fans, make sure they follow the game, and make sure basically that he courts the young people. Well, one way to do that is like back in the NBA, early NBA days, or at least early in Michael Jordan's career when he had the Nike contract. You know, I mean, all these shoe deals and some of the stuff we've seen from NBA guys, LeBron, whoever, you know, that's what the young people see. And then it's like the young people think, okay, that's a cool sport. You know, I want to go, I want to follow it, I want to play it, I want to whatever. I want to be like Mike. I want to be like LeBron. So if Bryce Harper, in getting whatever this, whether it's $500 million or whatever the Under Armour deal is going to be worth, then I think maybe, you know, again, all this I think is good overall for baseball, because I think, you know, it's going to get kids' attention, because that's the kind of stuff that seems to get kids' attention these days. And baseball's been shy on, you know, major marketing deals. It's all been the NBA and the NFL, and I think it'd be great for the sport.
If using marketing and shoe deals is a way that baseball wants to help, I don't know, get in touch or stay in touch with the young generation, I would look at it as a concern, because when I was growing up and I was a kid and I wore my Jordans to school, I could wear them into class. But if I'm wearing my Bryce Harper cleats, my teacher probably wouldn't have liked it a ton when I was in middle school, because you can't wear cleats in the class. So is it going to be able to have that same kind of effect?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. And, you know, we'll find out. But you're right. That's always been baseball's thing about the shoe deals. You know, you're right. I mean, kids can go to school with Michael Jordan kicks or LeBron James or whoever it is. Obviously, baseball, the shoe deal is not really applicable to baseball players. So that avenue hasn't really been available. So we'll see if some of these other avenues work or not. You know, I mean, I guess kids can wear Under Armour clothes to school, and you know, we're about to find out, I guess, just how much clout a guy like Bryce Harper may have.
Scott Miller is our guest here, talking some baseball on ESPN 700. Leicester City in the English Premiership just won a championship after starting the season as 5,000-1 betting underdogs. And this is one of the greatest sports stories ever, and it obviously doesn't resonate all that well with American sports fans, but who's the baseball, Major League Baseball equivalent right now, the unlikely group of underdogs that you just cannot even imagine pulling it out and putting it together to win a championship?
Well, I'll give you two answers. The first one is, every year you figure the first knee-jerk answer is the Chicago Cubs, right?
Sure, yeah.
But, alas, not this year. This year the Cubs look like King Kong atop the Empire State Building. If you're talking this year, for me, you got to go Atlanta Braves. They're off to a horrible start. They can't score. I think they're like 0-14 when they score three or fewer runs, and 14 of those games within their first, you know, whatever they played so far, 25, they're not scoring. They're in deep rebuild mode, and I think slugging percentage, they're about 280 or something like that, and they're just awful. So this year, I think that longest shot of anybody is the Atlanta Braves.
What happened to the Braves? I mean, this used to be the model franchise in baseball. Where did it go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess probably the quickest answer I can give you is, you know, unfortunately for Atlanta fans, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz could not pitch forever. You know, for all that we've heard about the brilliance of John Schuerholz, and he is brilliant, the former Atlanta general manager and now president. For all we heard about Bobby Cox having a Hall of Fame career, for all we saw of Chipper Jones and Fred McGriff and David Justice and some of those guys with the bats, the key to Atlanta for so long was the pitching. And the problem is that's, you know, they didn't only have one once-in-a-lifetime starter. They had three at the same time. And, you know, they kept it going for beyond those three guys for a pretty good amount of time, maybe longer than some people would have thought. But, you know, they kept trying to get it going, trying to keep it going. And, you know, they just kept getting diminishing returns. So, you know, they reached a point just before opening day last year, or really two winters ago, I should say, before last year, where they finally decided we got to strip this thing down and start over. So then you saw the two Upton brothers traded. You know, you saw Brian McCann go. You saw all kinds of guys go. And, you know, I think they've got some good young talent they've acquired, but it's going to be a couple years until that talent grows. And, you know, they're also timing it with their new ballpark. This is the last year of Turner Field. They're moving into a new ballpark next year, which is why last year they stripped things down. They made the decision it may be two or three years of deep, deep pain while we rebuild. But we, you know, if not the first year when we move into that new ballpark, at least by the second year, you know, we want to be competitive again. So that's what they did, and, you know, right now it's painful.
Who's replaced the Braves as that model franchise in baseball? And I'm worried that the correct answer is the one I don't want to hear.
But I'm sorry, you said who will replace
them?
No,
who has replaced them as the model franchise in baseball?
Oh, replace them as a model franchise. You know, I don't know who you want to hear or don't want to hear. Off the top of my head right now, I'd say based on the two World Series appearances the last 2 years, Kansas City Royals are a pretty good model right now. A lot of teams are trying to follow them. I think you've seen a lot of teams really beef up their bullpens in the last couple years, and really Kansas City 2 years ago was at the forefront of that when they had those three gorillas at the back end of the bullpen when, you know, after the sixth inning when they went to Kelvin Herrera and Wade Davis and Greg Holland. You know, we saw 2 years ago it was game over, and it really makes sense for teams to try to emulate that because we're not seeing any complete games anymore. We've been talking for how many years now about starters not going deep into games? Well, duh. The corollary to that is you better have some killer relievers if you want to win. So between that and between the Royals drafting and trading so smart and building from within, guys like Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Alex Gordon, you know, right now I'd nominate them for the model. Now, I'll ask you a question. Was that the team you didn't want to hear or no?
Oh, no, I can live with the Royals. I just didn't want to hear you say the Giants. As long as you didn't say San Francisco, I'm good.
Yeah, they're pretty good, too. I mean, three World Series in 6 years. But I think in terms of, you know, they're certainly a model. But for me, Kansas City's who jumps out right now is, for reasons I just said, you know, including, you know, that's the team a lot of other clubs are trying to emulate right now.
Speaking of those Giants, it is an even year, and they're on the top of the division right now. Are they a realistic contender?
You know, I think they are for a couple of reasons. I think they made some really smart free agent signings. I think Denard Span is going to end up being one of the more underrated signs of the winter. As you know, his big thing is health. He was hurt much of the year with Washington last year. So far, he's healthy, and I think he's got a chip on his shoulder trying to show people that last year was an aberration. Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija, I think both are going to pay pretty big dividends. I like the matchup of them with pitching coach Dave Righetti, who's as good as there is, and Bruce Bochy, a manager who really gets the most out of veteran players. So I think Span, Samardzija, Cueto are all going to do well. Obviously, they've got a couple issues in the rotation right now. They're trying to figure out, you know, Jake Peavy and Matt Cain have not been good at all. I think eventually they'll get something out of those guys. They may have to trade or go out and sign another pitcher. And guess who's having a showcase on this Friday is Tim Lincecum, still a free agent. So they'll keep an eye on that one. But I think for those reasons, the Giants can put it together this year, and I think their odds are increased because I think while the National League West is going to be very competitive, all those teams look flawed. Obviously, Arizona with Zach Greinke and Shelby Miller is not playing well so far. The Dodgers pitching is a mess behind Clayton Kershaw. You know, the Rockies and the Padres just aren't very good. So I think the Giants, while they figure it out, the other clubs in the division are going to allow them to hang around and at least remain in position to make a move as we get deeper into the summer.
Are we looking at an all-Chicago World Series this fall?
You know, the rest of the country might not enjoy it. I think it would be a lot of fun. Obviously, it would be fun if the Cubs were in any World Series, whether they played the Chicago White Sox or the Cuban national team, whoever it is. Yeah, a Cubs World Series would be unbelievable if the White Sox could figure it out. And I do think they've got a chance, no question. I just looked it up the other day, guys, interestingly. And granted, expanded postseason, it hasn't been around that long. I mean, the wild card was added in 1995, and then the second wild card was just added 4 or 5 years ago. But in all the years baseball's been played, the last time the Cubs and White Sox played in the same postseason was 2008. Cubs got knocked out in the early round by the Dodgers that year, the White Sox by Tampa Bay, who went on to play in that year's World Series and was managed by Joe Maddon, who, of course, is in Chicago now. So 08 was the last time the Cubs White Sox were in the same postseason together. Also, the only time, unless you go back to the 1906 World Series when the Cubs and White Sox played each other, and of course the White Sox won. So you go back that far, since 1906, we've only seen one postseason which the Cubs and White Sox have participated in the same postseason. It could be a lot of fun if they both get there this year.
What is that series called, right? You've got like the
The Freeway Series, the Subway
series, the Bay Bridge Series. What is that one called?
You know, that's a good question. I'm trying to think what they call it. I think they play for the Crosstown Cup or the Mayor's Cup, but I don't know if it's got a snazzy name like the Bay Bridge Series or the Freeway Series.
I see the Crosstown Classic is what I just found on the old internet here.
Yeah, I don't
okay,
really
there
like
you
that.
Go. Yeah, I was thinking Crosstown
or
somehow. Yeah. Yep.
Well, we'll have to come up with something better if it happens,
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah. We'll spend the next segment on it, so we'll take care of it.
I like it.
Thanks for taking the time with us, Scott. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Fun talking with you.